Good afternoon, brethren. Look at all these happy faces out there. I see faces of the children of God. We're all a child of God. Today is a special day with the United Church of God. Around many of our congregations, maybe not all, there's a celebration called the Blessing of the Little Children. It's not a holy day. Well, it is because it's a Sabbath, you know. This tradition was established in the modern times by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, which he took off with Jesus Christ establishing it. I need to get my Bible. I thought my step was a little bit light coming up here. No. If you please turn with me to Matthew 19. I'm going to go to verse 13. It says, then little children were brought to him, this is just Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. They weren't happy about this because they didn't understand. But in verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Originally, the blessing of children in the church was performed during the Feast of Tabernacles. Do any here remember that when it was done at the Feast of Tabernacles? But due to the fact that there were at one time so many children to bless, there was an administrative decision to have the blessing of the children performed on the second Sabbath after the Feast of Tabernacles. This compensated for those that were traveling that had not made it home yet. Our children are a blessing from God. They can bring us joy. They can bring us heartache. And most of us had probably had both of those with our children. Heartache, as well as Genesis 4 shows us through the example of Cain and Abel. Honor or dishonor by the examples of Cain and Abel, King David, Solomon, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son, who honored his Father, even obedience to his death on the cross. Why the blessing of little children? Like the ancients of old in the Old Testament, we desire the best for our children. We ask for their protection, for their good health, and success in their life, and with their relationship with God and others. This is what we want for them. God's Word gives us instructions on our relationship with Him and one another through the Ten Commandments. The first four outline how our relationship be with God. And the last six, our relationship with one another. And starts with children in the fifth commandment. Just glancing through our hymnal, I found it laced with references to children and parents. God is calling children. Except for the children, which is a title of this message. Men and children everywhere, be at rest, child of God. For even from my youth, O God, hearts of the fathers, how shall the young direct their ways? And our thanks, O God, for parents. I'm sure if we took time to go through the hymns one by one, we'd find many more, even more references to children. My objective today is a brief overview of these responsibilities. I'll just read these. Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5, 16, excuse me. It says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that you may be well with you in the land which the Lord is, your God is giving you. We all like a long life. We like to see our children have a long life and a happy life. But we as parents are certainly not off the hook. We have a very, very important responsibility to fulfill in that relationship. Deuteronomy, let's go turn to Deuteronomy 6. Verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, on the frontlets of your eyes. Keep them right here in the... And when you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Proverbs 22:6, which I'll just read, tells us, train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. This does not mean to beat them into submission. More admonition to parents and children in Colossians as well. But let's go back to the Proverbs 22:6. I see people, I was raised in the church and I left and came back, but I see people raise their children in the church as they get older and stuff. They may not go to church, but they have certain values that they gained from that relationship with God and their parents. They may grow up and they don't know it. They may not even eat pork anymore. But they were taught that. They may not remember why. They have moral values, which a lot of times they wouldn't have otherwise. But you raise them up that way, and down the road, they will remember those things. And as things get close to the end, I think some of the things will come back to them and say, I need God. And we need to look forward to that when they all come back. Let's go to, now, if you follow me, please, to Colossians 3. Verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then instructions to the parents. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest you become discouraged. I know some of us in the church become discouraged because of either correction or just because sometimes in the church they were a little overbearing on the leadership of how to raise children. Having four children of my own, I found out early on that we had four children with four different personalities. How many of you have seen that in your children? I bet every one of you did. If you are a parent or was even a teenager, you know what I mean. When it came to discipline, which we didn't have to do very often because our children were perfect, we didn't have to administer it too often. But our oldest daughter, she'd rather have a spanking than anything, but she didn't like to be grounded. So guess what we did? We grounded her. But it taught a lesson, you know. Because you get a spanking and it's over with. I mean, the pain's there for, 10 seconds and it's gone. Our oldest son was something else. He just needed tough love. And it was really tougher on us than it was on him. Our youngest daughter, you just looked at her and she knew, I've had it, you know. Because she knew she did something wrong. He would look at her and said, I've been had, you know. Youngest son, not perfect in any sense of the word, but he was the least one to be disciplined. Do you know why? The other kids asked one time, why does he get to do things we didn't get to do? And I said, because he learned by your mistakes not to do it. That's it. He learned by example, their example. For better understanding, though, in our relationship, they turned out pretty good in spite of their parents. You know, I take half of that responsibility. For better understanding of our relationship with our God, if you don't have or do have, you can read them, the Ten Commandments, and also marriage and family. Get those, check them out. If we don't have anybody, let us know, and I'll see if Mr. Martins can get us some. He doesn't know that yet, though. We live in a sometimes very cold, cruel world, but there are better times coming. We know that. Malachi 4. Turn with me to Malachi, please. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Zechariah 8, verses 3 through 8. I'm just going to read it here. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff or his cane in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. When was the last time you see them playing in the streets? I don't remember very often. It's too many cars and too many other obstacles for them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord? Behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and the land of the west. I will bring them back. And they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and righteousness. Today I just briefly touched on the need for the personal right relationship between children and their parents, and children and their parents with God. I find this encouraging because having a difficult relationship growing up and stopping attending church at the age of 16, 17. But God was merciful enough to call me back again in my mid-30s to love and understand his ways. Let us never forsake that relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, seeing as we just observed the Feast of Tabernacles, representing the millennium rule of Jesus Christ, and is not yet here, we still have a commission to preach the gospel and to prepare a people and make disciples in all nations. I want to leave you with one last few words from Jesus Christ for our edification. Let's go to turn to Mark 6, or Mark 10. Start in verse 13. And then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought him. This is similar to Matthew 13, 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child or by no means enter it. Those are pretty much ominous words, aren't they? And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them and blessed them. Children are a blessing. Enjoy them.